Hello, friends. We're in the middle of our sermon series on encouraging one another from Paul's text that commands us in the church in Thessalonica to encourage one another. And we've been asking the question, well, if that's the command, how do we live that out? In practical ways, how do we do that? So we've talked about encouraging words. We've talked about food. We've talked about surprises. And today we're going to talk about remembering and how remembering the things that God has done and the things that have happened in our lives, remembering them ourselves and helping others to remember them is key to encouraging our hearts and minds. So we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture in Joshua chapter 4. And during communion today, we talked about the fact that Jesus told us that whenever we do take communion, or really even eat, that we are to remember him in that part, because they had bread and wine each day. And so that feast that they had was really the Passover celebration, which was a celebration of God and the people of Moses passing through the Red Sea out of Egypt's hand, out of the hand of slavery, and into freedom. And so that's the story that they were celebrating at the Last Supper. And today's passage is recalling that, but even more. So Moses led the people to freedom. They were in the wilderness. You may remember this. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And finally, they came back to the promised land. And they were then allowed to enter into the promised land under Joshua's leadership. And that's this story. So here it is. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, so they crossed back over the Jordan into the promised land. They crossed once out with Moses and once across the Jordan again into the promised land, to enter into the gift that God had given to them. The Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each of the tribes. So there were 12 tribes of people together in Israel. And he said, pick one from each, a leader from each group. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So he says, in the middle of the Jordan, where the priests were standing, kind of leading the people ahead, I want you to take 12 stones, one for each tribe, and I want you to pile them at a place where you will camp tonight, on the other side of the Jordan. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. That's the Ark of the Covenant. That was the piece that Moses had built for the tabernacle that was in the most holy part of the sanctuary. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. We're going to use these stones to build something so that we can remember this moment. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? There'll be a stack of stones, a pile of stones there, big ones, 12 of them. And when your kids come to the bank of this river and they see them, they'll ask the question, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them the story. Then you can remind them of what God has done. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. God rescued us out of Egypt. God stopped the flowing of the water. God did all of this. And these stones remind us of that story. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the... Now, this was not... God didn't ask Joshua to do this. Well, we're not told he did, right? This was Joshua's own initiative. He put another pile right where the priests were who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, right in the middle of the river. And there they are to this day. Now, that was, of course, in the writing of this text. I'm sure that they're not there right now. But these pillars were to remind the people who had been there and their children who were there, but as they grew up, would forget. That happens to us, doesn't it, as we grow up? We We forget more than we remember, don't we? I mean, there's so much about life that we just don't remember. So one of the key aspects to this story that's so important is that God wanted them to save the story so that they could remember it. You know what I mean? I mean, when I say save, if you use a computer or anything like that, or even if you have paperwork, you have to save it, right? On your computer, you literally go file, save as, and you save the file so that you don't lose it. In your home, we get a lot of paperwork. It's less than maybe we used to, but still there's a lot of mail, there's a lot of receipts, there's a lot of stuff. And the question is, how do you save it? And if you ever have to return anything, like I'm constantly having to return stuff to Home Depot or another store that didn't fit or didn't work or whatever it was, I need my receipt. And the question is, did I save it? And it's interesting, the things that we choose to save intentionally and the things that we don't. And in this case, God said to them, in this moment, I want you to be super intentional about saving this story. And so here's what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to have you gather together some stones and make them in a pile, because the act of doing this will cause you to remember. Does that ever happen to you? Like, sometimes you know that you need to do something and you're like, I just need to stop and write this down right now, because if I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember it. Or I need to put a note on my calendar right now, because if I don't do that, I'm not going to remember it. There are times when my wife calls me and says, I want you to stop at the grocery store on the way home. And there are times when I intentionally set an alarm on my phone as I'm leaving the parking lot for about 5 minutes before I get home. Because between the time I leave the parking lot and arrive in the town, my mind has wandered to something completely different. And I am likely on autopilot. And my car will probably drive itself right past the grocery store and find itself in my driveway. And then, if I'm lucky, I'll remember that I was supposed to pick something up. So there are times when, if I want to remember, I have to be very intentional about saving that and bringing it back to mind so that I have done what I need to do, or so that I remember important things in my life. So let's take a moment to think about what it means to save.
So if we're to ask the question, how do we save our story? How do we save the things that are happening in our lives? I want to offer up a couple practical suggestions. Of course, one of them is, a rock, right? This is what Joshua did. And I recently, I saw a story about a family who every year they cut off an end of the Christmas tree for each of their children. So they had three children. They would cut three round ends off of each one of the Christmas trees, and they would take a wood burner and they'd burn their name and the year into it so that they had a remembrance of that year's Christmas. There are lots of different ways that we can try to save things into our memory to make sure that we remember them. My wife has been so good at this. Each year, starting early on in our kids' lives, very early on, she would gather all the digital pictures that we had for the year and create little books for our family. And so we have, this is the stack that I brought today, but we have a giant stack in our house of the pictures of our family throughout the course of our history and the things that they did and who they were and the things happening in our lives together. And so it details for us kind of the history of our family in all these books. And each year she would buy hardback for, kind of a family archive. And then she'd buy each one of the kids a softback book so that they could keep it and have it in their rooms and be able to scroll back and remember their childhood and things that perhaps they were even too little to remember, so that they could see a little bit of their life. A few years ago, I was given, as a pastor, a journal. And it's just a book that has empty pages in it that you can take time to write down the things that are happening in your life and why they're important and how God is using things. And that's really the question that we want to ask now. How do you save the things that God is doing in your life? Now, I know that some of you are avid Facebook folks and you take pictures of the things happening in your life, and some of you post things about your faith too. And that's a way of kind of digitally storing your milestones in life and the things that God is doing, the stories that God has been about. Some of you, like me, read the scripture. And in reading the scripture, it causes you to remember times when you had a similar incident, to remember times when you were hurting, when you were lost, when God stepped in and helped you, when God healed you, when God brought a plan together, or maybe when someone was confused and didn't remember or realize who their God was. And you're like, yes, that's been me too. And so pausing to ask the question, not only how do you save your memories in life, but how do you save the stories that God is writing in your life? Our scripture is a compilation of God's stories working through his people in history. It's not just the teachings of God. It is that too. It's also the stories of God. And having that in our lives, in Jesus' mind, was critical. So I want you to pause for a minute and say, am I intentionally saving the stories of God at work in my life? And so we've spent a lot of time to this point talking about just getting ready to remember and having the database, the storage to do that. Sorry about that. So why is this important? Why is this so critical? Well, today's reality, what's happening right now today, can cause you to forget yesterday's blessing and God's goodness. Not only can your own memory fail and it can just kind of fade. It can be like a distant image, something that just doesn't come to mind. But the trouble that we face today can actually take such center stage in the moments of our life that it overwhelms and causes us to forget yesterday's blessing and God's goodness. And I'm sure this has happened to you. It certainly happened to me. There are times when the thing in front of me takes up so much of the vision of my life, the kind of what's on my mental screen, that I can't see anything else. And I'm so focused on it. I'm so focused on trying to understand it and trying to get through the emotions of it and trying to deal with it that the image of God is lost altogether, much less what God has done for me in the past. And so making sure that we're grounded in this is important for all moments, but it's especially important for these moments, because I find that it's easy for me to lose track, not just of a grocery item my wife wants me to pick up on the way home, but of God's goodness. It's easy for me to go, why God? Why now? So quickly, forgetting about the goodness of God and that he has a plan and that he cares for me. But when I have the broader picture, when I remember that I'm not just focused on what's happening now, but on what God has been doing through my life and through history, it allows me to begin to relate differently. And so God's work in my past, in your past, God's work there is a gift. It's a gift to us to actually influence how we respond to today's events in life, to life today. That gift helps us to be grounded. It helps us to have perspective. It helps us to have encouragement, because Jesus has promised us important things like, I will never leave you. And there are moments like, where are you? That he will provide for us. And there are moments when we wonder that. But if we remember God's work in our past, and if we see that as a gift to us to help us have a larger picture of who this God is and how he operates in our lives, it will change how we view the moments that we're living in, which is part of the reason why we are encouraged to read scripture regularly. Because when we get into God's story that goes way earlier than ours, thousands of years earlier than our own stories, we see the stories of God working in others' lives. We see that God has a track record. He has a track record in which he has said, no, really, I will do this. And when we see that time and time and time again, It builds a sense of faith in us, a willingness to trust God, and an encouragement that what's happening in this moment is not the final word, and that God will work in it and through it and around it to get us to where he wants us to be. That remembering piece is huge, and the memories themselves are anchor points for us in that journey. And so we come to one of our last points. We're designed to remember and to remind each other. We're designed that way. When God told Joshua to pile those stones, he knew that it would be a signal that would remind them, because we're designed as human beings to remember things. God could have done it differently. Imagine how interesting life would be if we didn't have memory. As a matter of fact, I had a friend walk through that. They got multiple concussions as a soccer player, and their family literally had to write down all the previous day's events so that when they woke up, they knew where they were and who they were. They didn't recognize the people around them. They remembered what happened the previous day because they went back and literally reread the notes from the previous day. Imagine. That's the gift of memory and remembering. But for us, we have to ask the question, how do we remember God's work in our story? What specifically do we do to intentionally remember God's work in our story? As we try and answer the question, how do we remember? We think back to our story today where God gave the instruction to Joshua to have stones set aside and piled in a pile or a stack as a memorial, so that when the children came, they would see it and they would ask. Or the people who were there would remember, this is what happened, this is what God did. So it was a visual reminder, it was a cue for them that made the brain go, oh yeah, this is what God did. And as human beings, we oftentimes need that, don't we? We need those reminders, those little prompts, those cues that make us call to mind a flood of things. And it's amazing, isn't it, how a stone can pull a whole flood of memories out of us. And that's why I was thinking about Mother's Day. Because here at Bethany on Mother's Day, one of the things that we do is we choose to light a candle in remembrance or honor of our mothers. Now, my mother has not passed away. She's alive. So I'll light one. It's not Mother's Day, but I'll light one in honor of her. But as we do that, I watch people come forward and light these little candles, and it is a very emotional moment for people. They recall in the lighting of a simple candle the flood of memories of their mother and who she was and how she impacted them. Now, not everyone's affected the same way, but for many, it's a tool that enables them to remember someone very important in their lives who not just affected who they are, but in many cases affected their faith and their life's journey and how they became the person that they are today. It's amazing and beautiful in that way, isn't it? My father passed away, as many of you know, in November. And as a result of that, I took the time to take one of the pictures that I have and put it on my phone of my dad and I. It's in the background. You can see the apps in front of it. But my dad is seated there in his wheelchair with me beside him. It's at my sister's wedding, which was literally weeks before he died. And so every time my phone comes on, and I look at the screen, there's a picture of my dad. And it reminds me, it's a daily prompt of my father and who he was and what he meant to me and his values. We're to do the same thing with regard to our Heavenly Father. What's your daily prompt? For many people, it's their devotional time. For others, it's worship. The music of their lives prompts them. For some, it's their journal. We talked about that. I don't know what yours is, but do you have one? What's the prompt that enables you to remember your Heavenly Father and who he is and the scores of things that he's done for us? It's a beautiful and an important part of our lives and what we should be doing. It's one of the reasons why Jesus wanted us to celebrate communion, so that whenever we do this, we do it in remembrance of me. And if you don't have something, maybe that's something that you can use. Maybe just the simple meal that you have. Every time you take it is a reminder. We oftentimes say a blessing over that meal, but we don't always think about the God who gives it to us as we say that blessing and all that he's done for us and how that can change our hearts and our minds. It's interesting because, as many of you know, I schedule the topics for my sermons way in advance, for our sermons way in advance, and yet this week I was messaged by one of my childhood pastors. He was my pastor 40 years ago. And he messaged me this week kind of out of the blue. And we began a conversation. It lasted a couple of hours. And he said to me in the course of that conversation that he probably shouldn't have been a pastor. He didn't really have the patience for it. He had found me on the internet and had told me that I had a pastoral heart and said that he had kind of wrestled with that, and he left the ministry and went into a whole different career, and he was lamenting the fact that maybe he shouldn't have ever been a pastor. And I paused, and I said to him over message, I said, I still remember the series you preached on the book of Hebrews when I was 12 years old. I still remember it. I've heard of a lot of sermons in my life, a lot of sermons since the age of 11. Even before then, we were regular church attenders. I've been exposed to, and I still remember that series. And I wanted to call to mind that in him because I wanted him to remember. It's amazing that God coincided it with this message, isn't it? I wanted him to remember that God was at work in his life. And even though 40 years later, he might not see it, I was there to say, oh no. No, I can share with you how you impacted my life and how God was using you to touch people. And it may not be clear to you, it may be fuzzy, but let me recall the details for you so that you know God used you. How do we use remembering to encourage others? Sometimes we don't think of ourselves well. Sometimes we forget that God has used us. Sometimes we think that we haven't always done the things that God wants us to do. And when we can walk with someone and remind them of their impact and their touch and the way that they have shaped others in this world, it is a gift of encouragement. But we must be intentional about saving. We must be intentional about recalling. And we must be intentional about sharing. May God use you to do those things in our world. Let's pray. Father, as we celebrate Jesus today and all that he's done for us, we remember your goodness, and it extends back way beyond before we were born. It extends back all the way to the beginning of time as we watch you faithfully walk through the story and walk with us, even when we were not faithful to you, as we watched you send your son, as we watched him die and rise for us, as we watched you walk through difficult times in history with different peoples, we see you at work. And so we recall today how you have impacted our story just during our lifetime, as well as what you've done over the course of history. And we ask that you would help us to remember, that you would coach our souls, that you would remind us to coach our souls, as the psalmist tells us. Why are you downcast, O my soul? What's wrong? Remember God, the psalmist says. Recall all that he's done for you. And so, Father, enable us to do that not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. And thank you for all that you do. And thank you for your patience with us, because our memories can be very short. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us together by praying to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.